settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Again, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hello.
And we're mediums who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing developing your gifts of spirit. It's a continuing program. It's a vast subject, and if you have some input that you would like to make into tonight's show, maybe you are developing gifts of spirit or you are thinking about it, any sort of gifts, whatever it is, as long as it's to do with your spiritual pathway with spirit, then if you'd like to join us, we would be really pleased. The phone lines will be open. It's toll-free. The number is in the U.S., 877-876-5227. And Canada is 888-810-8322. Okay, so this is not a reading or anything like that. That's next week, and I'll talk about that in a little while. But today, it's anything to do with the show, so we look forward to hearing from you.
You look like you were going to say cheese then, you know, like Wallace and Gromit. Cheese!
Yeah. Did I really?
Yeah.
I didn't suppose, see, not everybody might realize what Wallace and Gromit is.
No. Okay. Well, I'll leave it to their imagination.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other things that we do, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Now, as regular listeners will know, every week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s, so he's not a figment of my imagination. He was born in England, and he has come to share the wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. We don't like to spend very long on chit-chat at the beginning of our shows because we try to save as much time as possible for the spirit world because really it's their show. And Gregory Hay, of course. Always, he has plenty to say. Unfortunately, I miss everything because I'll be the instrument. And when I am the instrument, I kind of have an out-of-body experience and I'm not here. Anyway, I'll have to wait to hear the recorded show afterwards. So I'm going to pass you back over to Sylvie and prepare to go into trance. But do have a great show. In fact, actually, really, I suppose I'm going to go back to sleep because I've just woken up from a short sleep, and now I'm going to go back to sleep.
You are. What a life, eh?
What a life.
The life of a deep trance medium.
A bit like a snail, really.
Yes. Okay. Bye, Mick.
Bye.
Anyway, Gregory is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. They are made up of scientific minds of all description, plus ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and help us to evaluate our lives differently. And when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are actually transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this isn't Mick just passing the information on from a non-physical entity. It's completely lights out for Mick, and welcome spirit guide Gregory Hay, basically. So as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, spirit-teaching.com. And once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, if you'd like to join with the discussion of developing gifts of spirit, we'd love to hear from you. And the number once again is toll free, and in the US it's 877-876-5227. In Canada it's 888-810-8322. And next week we're going to be having our Akashic Reading show. We are actually booked up for that, but there is a space left on our Thursday show because we've just had a cancellation. So and regardless of that anyway, if you want to join us on another show, you can get in touch now and we can just, you know, book you in and sign you up for that regardless. So if you would like to have a free mini Akashic reading at some point, we will need your full name at birth. That's including your middle name, your date of birth, your telephone number just in case I lose your email, and one question. And then email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And your Akashic book is your book of life, okay? So basically you'll find out all sorts of things that you probably would never know in any other type of reading. You'll find out what soul group you're from, and you'll find out who your doorkeeper is or your guardian angel, and that sort of thing. So it is really quite different. So if you want to email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com, I can tell you more about it and we can go from there. So I do believe Gregory is with us.
With love and light, dear friend, I am with you.
Hello, Gregory. So here we are then. This is part 8 on our developing gifts of spirit. But, you know, you wouldn't think that it could be so involved. But it is.
Absolutely. Well, my dear friend, of course, you are dealing with the situation of the voyage of the spirit, after all. And that is centrally important to any co-creation with a physical organism, such as the human race or any other organism that lives upon the planet of Earth or any other planet within any other universal system.
So do they have mediums in other dimensions, on other planets, you know, similar to what we do here?
In a similar way, perhaps. It depends entirely upon the vibration of the subject and who the illuminary is. I wouldn't say that this, by saying illuminary, means to say that all beings from the spirit world, in painting this as some sort of hierarchical exchange, it isn't. Believe me, there are many beings in the spirit world who are of a much lower vibration than beings in physical earth, mm-hmm. on the physical side of life. And quite clearly, the instruments of your work actually depict this as being an ongoing challenge.
Yes, we deal with this on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We were just saying this morning, weren't we? We had a new one with somebody who says that Jesus is talking to them.
Yes.
Well, that brings probably about how many million people are having that?
Well, yes, absolutely. Millions and millions, of course, because many of those of Christian belief will feel that this is the case in part, I suppose. So, therefore, then, does this mean that this energy is bringing an envelope of psychotic domain into the realm of physical life? Does it mean to say that this energy is overtaking people in such a way that they are unable to resist this? In some respects, could be termed as being quite a dark force. And in fact, there are many energies within the spirit world who will use this as a way in to people's lives. And so one must be extremely careful as to denote exactly who this energy is. You cannot, just because you feel surrounded and overcome by an immense wealth of love and passion, that this, in fact, is the energy of Jesus, even though that is accompanied by the emblem or iconic state of a statuary that you are used to seeing.
Mm.
Just because that is something within the mind, you see. Much of this is to do with the psychology, really, of how it is that some from the spirit world are actually able to usurp that form of energy and mask it, actually use it as a mask in order to infiltrate the human physical psyche, I suppose you could say. And what are they doing by doing that? Well, they're taking over. They're actually using the physical being very often as a vessel to command at their own energy, at their own request. You would always, in fact, sense that there are darker forces afoot if the situation evolves that there become ultimatums in the relationship, or that there are things like, for example, the energy is telling them to do things against their will or desire. These could possibly, on the surface, be good things, and they may seem very palatable to the human physical brain and to the human life. However, this is just a way in. That's the point, really. So we're saying, really, that people who have this as a part of their life, yes, I understand that you love Jesus or whatever, that this is something which evokes great loving awareness, compassion, and everything within you. It's a bit of a prop, really. You should really try to evolve that without such an icon or without such a belief state, because really belief exists only in the realm of superstition and in the realm of trying to bring about a sense of control and power over others. Very often, so often, people use this as a way of leverage in hierarchical form to overpower others' thoughts or others' visions, saying, oh, no, they are lower than mine, mine is of Jesus. How often have you heard that? Or even God, perhaps. Yes, God talks to me. God, my friend, talks to everyone. Just depends on what shade you're looking at. What shade of God do you have talking to you today? It could be the sight of someone who is extremely negative who is talking to you and really is just trying to infiltrate and source your mind so that they can take control over it. For what reason? For their own power, of course. Negativity breeds negativity, breeds the very fact of their increased notion and their increased power over you.
Well, people assume that, if they're negative, then they won't be saying these beautiful things.
Which is, of course, rubbish.
Because they do.
Yes, of course they will. They'll say anything, absolutely anything, whatever is written on the can, as it were, that will allow you to lower your barrier to them. That is why throughout spirit development, you have to be so careful to be with any form of development of spirituality. You have to be careful. It is not good enough to say, oh, well, this being is, I know, is of a higher vibration, therefore you are ascending yourself already in the developmental state, as saying that you are knowing something completely beyond the bounds of your real present knowledge. Just because a person has a great many letters after their name, even, doesn't mean to say they have all knowledge. They may have very little. They may only have a little parsec of it. And in actual fact, the sum total of knowledge which really exists is, for them, is really just a blip upon the ocean. Almost like you are looking at a piece of algae floating upon the Pacific Ocean or something like that. That is really, for many people, the sum total of their knowledge. But they don't realize it, don't see it, because they think that they have ascended this beautiful pathway. Now, do not misunderstand me, my friends. I am not knocking the whole situation of spirituality growth, the whole situation of evolution. progression is open to all, every single one. And if you do feel that you have the vibration of Jesus with you, how lucky are you? Absolutely. I could not think of a more obvious vibration to wish to attune to, because this is the vibration of someone who reveled in the state of being with love, with purity.
But there are certain energies that we are not likely to get that close to, aren't there, because of it being a physical impossibility.
Yes, absolutely so. And it always amazes me the amount of people who say, oh yes, I was talking with the Shining One the other day or whatever. You are a human being. You may think that you have evolved over millions of years or whatever, but as a human being, you haven't. What has evolved, possibly, is your spirit, but do not cast aside the fact that you have a position of egotism and power within you because you are a physical being. That is what physical beings have. In order to relinquish that power, in order to relinquish all of that objectivity of wanting to be ascended beyond someone else, therefore attracting the likes of a Shining One, Elohim, whoever you would call them. I have often heard it said that many people channel Elohim. If they really were, you wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't be here if you really were, because you would be in such a state of divine bliss that you would have transcended the mortal physical journey and you would have evaporated. That is a truism. Shining ones, Elohim, create worlds. Why do you think that you as a mortal being would be able to transcend to that level, to that vibration? So, my dear friends, we are seeking here that human beings have a foothold in reality, as well as seeing past the physical voyage into transcending the energy of love within a state. One needs to focus upon the energy of being, projecting pure love, not egotism, not joining with or proclaiming that you are partnered with someone whom you are not, just because of the fact that you are having a physical human experience, a party to. Yes. Do you think you are Buddha then? Is that what you are transcending to? Is that what you are illuminating to? If you are assigning yourself this little pathway, oh yes, I was talking to this or that aspect of God, an Elohim, Shining One. They are of such a vibration that even if they thought of you, they could just destroy you with a thought. Just with a thought. Why would they want to do that? They may not actually realize that you're of that vibration.
What do you mean, destroy you with a thought?
Well, I suppose I was being flippant.
Oh, Gregory.
Well, you see, what I am saying is that Shining Ones are able to create worlds. What do you think that energy is? And that you as a human being are able to communicate with it? How lofty a pose do human beings think that they can make? I understand that human beings have communication with God. Very well. My friends, if you talk to another being from the spirit world, you are in effect communicating with God. If you communicate as a physical being with your own divine spirit, you are also talking to God, because your own divine spirit is a part of what the energy of the Creator of God is. That is a divine, beautiful, sublime energy of bliss, which allows you to transcend that mortal physical journey. And without it, physical beings are nothing.
But there is no being, as in... I'm not going to say the white beard, the old man.
No.
But there is no being that you could... That would say that I'm God. I'm talking...
No,
you know,
exactly not.
So.
Exactly.
Okay. But, you know, when we say this, we're not saying that you shouldn't expect the highest and the best. And we always say this is something that you should say when you...
That you should strive for.
Yes, absolutely. And when you pray for your... Or you say your invocation... When you are going to be calling in your spirit guides or whatever, you always do ask for only the highest and the best. I mean, that doesn't mean that we think that you should expect Saint Germain or whoever. I don't know.
No.
You know.
Someone out of the Bible.
No. So this is...
Or an apostle or whatever.
This is just sensible safety precautions.
Yes, quite so.
So... Well, we thought we'd, actually, we went off at a tangent then.
Well,
it was actually topical.
Not really.
This is the sort of thing that we deal with every day, and today it was...
No different.
It featured quite strongly in our day. So, okay, but I did say last week that we'd go on to the psychic development, what we call psychic development, and the use of tarot cards and things like that.
And other such props.
Yes.
Yes, but I'm not saying that they are completely props. You must understand. They are valid in their point in the energy and in the knowledge, perhaps, which is written about each one, what they are supposed to represent. I understand all of that, but that is something which was brought together by certain ones of ancient mind who wished to portray a way of accentuating the colors of life. How different walks have different positions upon life. How different thoughts are brought through and painted depending upon what cards that you turn over of a particular pack. Well, how does that possibly work? To begin with, the actual mechanics of it are quite simplified by saying that what you feel within your energy of life, within the thought processes of what are revealed in your life, how you are aligned within your life journey, the thoughts that you have in the conditions that you wish to perceive, and that you wish to grow for your life, are all, as in a sense, laid out as energies within your auric field. So when you go to a person who has a pack of tarot cards, and you are asking them for a reading, the first thing they're going to do is take the cards out of the pack, shuffle them for a little bit. Perhaps they may well separate half of the cards and put one half to one side because they are already linking to that pack of cards and they will actually link with the half that suits you best or that best represents your life. How do they do that? Well, they've actually communicated, linked through to your auric field already. And perhaps, actually, they may well have already gained gifts of spirit of their own devotion, and that may be something which is already communicating with them. So I'm not saying that this is a hard and fast rule. It very much depends upon each individual's development and where they are upon the cycle of their development. So it may well be that by accessing certain cards or their knowledge of them already brings a precursor to what they're going to say to that person. Indeed, that is really supposed to be how the cards are structured, that certain cards, cups, wands, swords, or whatever, are going to actually depict a certain activity or action, and depending on how many there are, 3, 6, 5, 4, whatever it is, will depict the strength or the viability of it in your life, in your life plan and journey. Some people will react to these in this way. So what happens then when you take the cards yourself and you're asked to shuffle them up, what you are doing is that you are perhaps concentrating on that shuffling of the cards. Perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're just absent-mindedly thinking of nothing at all. That is possibly the best thing that you could do. Unless, of course, you have a very important question, in which case the cards, as they are turned up, will reflect the question that you have asked, or your inner searching and your inner feeling, perhaps some boundary of whereabouts you are in your life journey and pattern, and what you are to do to resolve it, to recover yourself. This, of course, will all be interpreted by the tarot card reader for you. As I say, this may well be purely and simply to do with the rationale and the learning that they have done, that the reader has done, to actually evaluate each card and what each one means in the specific position of which it is laid out when they come to lay them out. They will say that this part is your pathway, this part is your life before, this is where you are leading to now, this is emotion, this is love, interest, etc., etc. What I have to say, though, is that very often, coupled with these links that the tarot card reader will play to you, are also their signs of ingenuity, their inspiration within a self, as they link also not just to you but to their spirit, providing them with a link through. Not necessarily is this going to be to loved ones, but instead it is going to be to you, the client. And what will actually happen is that they will actually then begin speaking, not just to do with what is actually on the cards, but also what they're being given via the reading, via others who may be helping them in this quest to discover your pathway.
So then it crosses over from a psychic reading then to a mediumship reading. So you start off psychically,
yes,
as in picking up the information from the energy of the person that you're going to give the reading to.
Yes, absolutely. And you may not, of course, see this as pictures, but what you're seeing is, and what you're doing is, you're using the tarot cards to actually give you a pictorial history. And sometimes you may find that rather than necessarily concentrating upon what you have already learnt and the knowledge of the cards as thus far you have read, it may well be that the whole thing patterned together communicates something else completely differently. And this is really where your link as a reader with spirit comes in, because it may well be then that you could perceive certain situations or elements within the reading which are not actually coming out of the textbook of knowledge of a tarot set of tarot cards. Similarly, my dear friends, you could perhaps not pick up a knowledge book on tarot cards at all and use them as a facility to describe one person's life experience. And what you could do is quite simply just take one card out of a whole pack of cards, of tarot cards. You would blindly take one card, draw it from the deck, not even look at it, and place it upon the table, put both hands upon it, and sit there for a moment, linking with the card. Then, with the person, your client, sitting next to you, turn the card over and just begin speaking. Don't think about it. Don't question it. But just connect. Use the card to connect with your spirit. That's what you're doing, in fact, when you do this, when you use this as a little trial. This will bring about your connection with your spirit. And it will be those around you in your auric field who will be actually helping you. But you are not to stop speaking at all. And you must speak for 5 minutes, non-stop.
That's a long time.
That is a long time, but it is a good experiment to make. And what this will actually prove, my dear friends, is that you will be able to link with that human being perfectly, without the use of any of the other cards. You will be able to occasionally look at the card, and you will see images. Or images will come to your mind as to actually what is on that card. So you may bring really strong evaluation about their present life now, their love life, their anything else to do with that, because you are actually using the card as a way of averting your energy away from trying to think. So you're not trying to think. You're using the space between yourself and the visual experience of the card, and as it is sinking into you, you are connecting with your spirit. That's what you're doing. You're not connecting with the card, you're connecting with your spirit. You're not connecting with your previous knowledge of the card either. Very often we feel that it is a very good idea for people to actually, when they first buy a pack of tarot cards, not to actually read the book about it at all. Don't even bother. Put the book away in a drawer and actually try linking with the cards with a person sat next to you, sat opposite you, and deal with it in this way. First of all, this will be a very good learning experience for your communication with spirit. Will be pure, will be unadulterated by the knowledge you have crammed in there trying to perceive about what the actual card mechanic is. The point I'm trying to make, I suppose, is that the card mechanic is not really that relevant to you in your life. And I'm not making this as a... I'm not casting that tarot card readers are in any way derogatory. This is not a derogatory statement. I'm asking you to use tarot cards in a different way so that you can really, truly connect with your spirit. Not use the information and knowledge that you already have of it, but connect with your spirit. That's a far purer connection than any book of knowledge about tarot cards or what they're supposed to mean. They're supposed to mean this in the life or that in the life. It's exactly the same, my friends, as if you had a problem in your life and you take a book of I Ching and you take it and you just open it, and whatever that page will reveal exactly what's going on in your life journey. That is because you have connected with your spirit, and by opening it, that is the reveal, the revelation, which is why so many people find the I Ching book so helpful to them in their lives, because every time that they open it, it's exactly revealing exactly what they're going through, or bringing about an answer to the strikes of their story so far. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing. You're thinking with your spirit. You're not trying to apply the mind to it. That's something which would just cloud it up, cloud up the message. What you want to really seek is pure instrumentation between you as a physical being and you, the spirit, pure God. You really want to connect with God? Do you really? Then that is what you should be doing. Then use this as an object to allow you to connect with it, with God, with your spirit. You are using it as a way of fooling your mind, if you like, moving around the obstacle of your obstinate mind.
Circumnavigating your mind.
Yes, yes, of how your mind is trying to compartmentalize everything that you think and see and feel and all of that. That's what the mind does. And that is what it tries to do, is to make sense of the things that you see around you. So you take a pack of tarot cards, you look at them, and you're trying to observe all of these different combinations of events, mm-hmm. instead of connecting with your spirit, which is just purely and simply the way forward. to search and reveal God within you, and to connect with that God energy, which is pure love, which is the connection beyond that to which you are used to as a physical being.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You were listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about developing your gifts of spirit. We are live, so if you would like to join us with a question about any gifts or problems or anything to do with our subject, the number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Okay, what about scrying, crystal balls and things like that?
Yes. Scrying. Once again, it doesn't really matter what size crystal ball you have. I know a lot of people even have crystal ball envy. Much like they have envy of motor cars or houses or boats or whatever else it is in material physical life. It doesn't really matter what size scrying ball that you have. It could be the size of a marble. In fact, some of the best scrying balls are the size of a marble. Or it may be the size of a tennis ball or a grapefruit or whatever. It really doesn't matter. It has no lesser effect or no greater effect. Because, once again, when you are looking into the ball, what is it that you are really doing? You need to clinically analyze yourself when you are making these situations become significant in your life. Rational thought is something that appears to elude many people when they first buy a scrying ball, or when they first buy a pack of tarot cards, or whatever else it is. You are using this as an instrument to allow you to, in a sense, meditate upon a question, or meditate upon an energy. And if you are really very lucky, or that you have overcome the knowledge problem factor, that is, that you try to cram in too much knowledge into your mind and then you end up with just really a mind full of knowledge that is not really of any use to you, because it detracts and disenables you to actually truly meet with your spirit. So for many people who actually have or use a scrying ball, it is really just a prop. It's just something that they look at. They look at absent-mindedly. And actually what happens is the eye of consciousness is taken away from the situation they are in and instead moves to the situation of the spirit and where your spirit is. The spirit energy, remember, is much lighter, is of a completely different vibration to your physical energy, regardless of the rubbish or the information or the negativity that you've placed upon it, or, of course, the intense positivity you have placed upon it. That is something which will enliven your soul and gradually raise your vibration index, which means that your connection with your pure spirit self will become stronger. The link will thicken. Just in a sense, in exactly the same way as if you looked at it and you could actually see your etheric bead, that is, the energy line which runs from your physical body out through, some say, the abdomen. Actually, it isn't. It's the solar plexus, or just below the solar plexus. And your etheric bead actually thickens and becomes more concentrated the higher your energy vibration illuminates. So when you are looking at a scrying ball, perhaps, and you are beginning to give someone a reading, what is it that you are reading? You may possibly be using this as an adaptation of your third eye, your psychic connection, So this is enabling your higher consciousness to actually perceive or make a connection via your spirit team, so they're actually able to bring you faces or something like that within the scrying ball. Of course, some could say this is purely your imagination. And for many, they would cite this as being a form of hoax, that perhaps either the spirit world, or for those who believe that there is no such thing as the spirit world, that they're just fooling themselves, deceiving themselves. The point that you are trying to do when using a scrying ball is that you will actually use it as a reference point so that the spirit team who may be working with you in this energy may well be delivering visual impacts upon the scrying ball because they perhaps will like to work with it. It's a reasonable prop to have, and it does mean that as a physical being, you can actually use a mechanism which, instead of using your psychic ability or your spirit mediumship development ability, that is, being able to see clairvoyantly who the person is that you're speaking to or the situation that the spirit world wish to paint as which is transforming or happening in the client's life. But really, my friends, what you are really doing is you're connecting with their spirit via the scrying ball. Or you may well be connecting with that person's ancestry, with their loved ones, with other loved ones who have passed before them. Your spirit team may actually be able to bring loved ones and their visions into the scrying ball itself, so that you can use this as a form of reference point. Oh yes, I see that you have here a certain Uncle Fred or whatever, and he was this tall and carried quite a bit of weight around here or whatever, you see, and you'll be able to actually describe someone in the spirit world being brought through via the spirit team who works with you into the scrying ball as a vision.
And so, okay, and everybody has a spirit team.
Everyone has a spirit team, because that is actually a part of your spirit work development. So if you want to progress in your mediumship ability, whatever that is, what you'll be doing is you'll be, if you are using a scrying ball as an attachment to your development, then they will obviously try to monopolize that actual mechanism and make it in effect useful to you, if they can work with it. If they can't, then nothing will happen. That's as simple as that. So you would just give it to somebody else.
You give up after a while.
Oh, yes, quite so. If nothing happens, then it isn't the energy for you. It isn't the mechanism that they want to work with. That's the point, really. You need to be able to communicate with your spirit team to enable that progression to take place. So the only way that you're going to do that in the first instance is by trial and error. So if you feel that a scrying ball is what fits for you, that serves your purpose, then use it. Go and buy one. Use it and see if it does. If it doesn't, give it to someone else.
Or it's a nice ornament.
Or leave it as a nice ornament. Yes, quite
yes.
So.
But I mean, I suppose it's different for every person, but...
Absolutely.
Would you... How long would you say carry on with it before you give up?
Yes, well, you need to obviously develop it for some time. It may be that you feel that this isn't the right thing for you, but you want to hang on to it. Well, do that if that's what you feel. Just because you bought one doesn't mean to say that you have to use it straight away. It may be something, after all, that you can come to use a little later on in your development, because maybe the spirit team who works with you is not that adept at it at this present time. They haven't all gone to mediumship charm school or anything like that. There isn't a Hogwarts in the spirit world, my friend.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating, really, because we think that is the case, that we want
yes.
to do this, so there's going to be somebody there that's going to help me.
Well,
you know?
Well, yes, of course, and there will be, but the point is that I'm saying that many, many teams have to learn in the process of you learning. That's what learning is about, because the reason for this is because everyone vibrates at a different vibration. So even though these beings who work with you may well have worked with others, the same mechanics do not apply. The same rules that apply to one person because of their vibration, their empathy, their love, or their condition, the condition in which they live perhaps, whether they have a happy, fruitful life, what sort of different physicalities are impending or impacting upon that life, that will all have a bearing upon them. So what you really need to do, my dear friends, is give it a try. If it doesn't work after 3 months, put it away in a box, put it away in a drawer, and try again in a few months' time.
And maybe it literally is because you're going through a bad time or something.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely not that positive. So. Because obviously, if you are going through a difficult period of negativity for some reason or another, then it will be actually quite difficult for you to communicate with the spirit world successfully. In which case, I'm saying that it possibly could be the case, doesn't always follow. A bit like comedians, I suppose. Comedians you usually find are, the good ones at any rate, are manic depressives. And that usually comes about because they do not see themselves in the same light as their audience. They are actually depressed about their own familiarity. That generally is what happens to comics. Mediums, however, can also be very depressive about certain states of their own welfare, their own wellness perhaps. May have a problem with their own material gains. There may be a great problem with...
Well, most mediums that I know don't have an easy life.
No, quite so.
Haven't had an easy life.
No, I understand
that. And
that's
nothing to do with learning...
spirituality.
Yeah, learning lessons and that sort of thing, is it?
No.
So
no.
Why is that?
Well, the reason for it, I suppose, you could say is that to a certain extent, it is a figure of everyone's life in physical form that some, unfortunately, have unhappy situations brought upon them by other people's minds, by other people's actions and activities. It isn't to say, oh, well, you have this number of lessons learned or to learn in this physical life. You don't have a shopping list of lessons that you have to learn in this physical life. It isn't how it works at all. You are not brought here to die some horrible death at the hands of someone else, be shot, run through with a sword, a stave, or be decapitated by a sheet of glass, anything. Whatever it is, the matter of your passing is through circumstances, through corresponding situations of possible bad karma brought about by someone else's life, or their lack of information. It is just really a whole forest of information that will have a bearing upon how you pass. If you are lucky, you'll pass with an easy situation. If you are not, then it will really just become a memory. It isn't something that is foregone conclusion from the point of your coming and having a physical life, contrary to many people's beliefs. They are beliefs, not truisms.
What about runes?
Yes, rune stones. I have heard a great deal about rune stones. In fact, I understand that for some people, just the casting of rune stones or just the holding of rune stones brings a particular familiarity, perhaps to do with life before physical state. And in a sense, this is true. As runestones had for hundreds of thousands of years been used within the spirit world for certain castings of the well within all of identifying the method or way forward for a particular life. I find that this will perhaps be quite astonishing to some people, because after all, runestones came about from a really ancient culture within human physical lifespan, and surely must have nothing at all to do with the spirit world. But actually, it actually originated from a caste of specific beings from a different universe to yourselves. So you could say that if you are using the casting of runestones, you are actually using their knowledge and their energy in order to actually understand certain things about your own life. Whether it actually has something figuratively to do with your own life or not is another matter. And I understand that throughout the ages of the using of runestones, they can be evoked as methods of you as a physical being using it to cast, as I say, to find out a truism perhaps to do with your life, or they can be used also for healing properties. They can almost as well be used for negative properties. And the casting of runestones upon a person, for example, physically, you can, let me see, yes, you can use a set of runestones, particular ones, that you would be empathic to use at the time, and don't try this at the outset, please. What you need to do is to become familiar with the energy that you as a being connecting with your spirit connects to the runestones themselves. Yes, they are just stones of the anatomical world in which you live in. And they have ancient writings upon them, signs, hieroglyphics in a form. But what I'm saying is the hieroglyphics come from actually a form of codicil, which arrives, as I say, from a different vibration. What you would do is, shall we say then, that you want to use a set of runestones for healing. And you can do this. If you are a healer already practicing, then I suggest that this may be a pathway that you could try, just as a form of gathering energy or gathering the significant instrumentation which is behind the runestone symbolism to align certain energies within the physical body. It's a bit like, my friends, you could use runestones to cast for water, to divine for water presence. You could use runestones possibly upon a map to divine a certain place, a geophysical place perhaps where oil exists, something like that. Or perhaps precious gems. So getting back, I detract, I am sorry. Getting back then to this little, not a game that we're playing, but this little verbal discussion really about how you can actually use them for healing. So you would have a patient lying down on their front. And what you would do, as I say, you can use runestones for alignment properties or for finding ley line activity and that kind of thing. You can also use runestones for exactly the same thing within a human body system. So if you have someone who has problems with their back, spinal problems or something like that, you would use certain castings of the runestones, first of all, outside of the area of the patient that you have, so you would do it perhaps on a table or a tray or something like that. And whichever runestones are landing in a specific way so that their faces are uppermost, that is, the face with the hieroglyphic on, you would use that runestone by connecting with your spirit and be shown whereabouts to place it upon the spinal column. And you would do this in a certain sequence that you would come to develop a knowledge with this. This isn't something that you would necessarily find in books. But as I say, again, what you're doing is you're connecting with your spirit, with them, with these ancient symbols. And what you would do is you would place one upon certain points, bearing in mind, of course, the chakra points, perhaps, which are available upon the spine. And also, you would use your hands in a certain way that you would actually, in a sense, scry the energy. You would feel the energy working, coming up through your fingers, as finding that the runestone was in the right place by placing your right hand over the energy of the runestone, because your right hand, do not forget, is the energy of positivity. And so you would use that hand of the palm of it to identify the correct balance has been brought into order by placing the runestone on that particular spot.
Gregory, we've run out of time.
Oh, very well,
I'd like
friend.
To continue with this this conversation, actually,
yes.
Next week.
Anyway, so the part of this, if I just may quickly, the part of this is that by doing this, you can bring about the measure of alignment for a patient.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to go into that a little more, and
yes,
psychometry in general as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
Actually, next Monday, so, okay.
Very well, friend, yes.
Okay,
well,
thank you, Gregory.
Absolutely. With love and light and peace be upon you all.
Okay, well, we thank you for listening to the show. Don't forget, if you want a mini Akashic reading, your full name at birth, your date of birth, your telephone number, and one question, and send that in an email to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Our website is spirit-teaching.com. So my name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you for joining us. I know you're there, listening intently, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.